you don't know what to get your significant other for that special occasion, then head over to giftingmap.com. The team at Gifting Map has curated an amazing collection of great gifts for that special guy or girl in your life. Visit giftingmap.com today. You're listening to Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us on the BetDSI.com inside line from MLB.com, he's Richard Justice. Hey, Richard, how you doing?
Good, Patrick. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, brother. Appreciate you taking some time with us again. It's always too long every time we get to have you back on. I guess the biggest news of the day, Nate Eovaldi is going back to Boston, 4 years and $17 million per. Now, he's 28. He's had one season in his career where he's thrown over 160 innings. I know he pitched really well this year when he was on the field, pitched really well in the postseason. How much risk, how much reward?
Well, it's a seller's market for pitching. You know, we've seen Corbin and Eovaldi come off the market. We've seen Paxton traded, and now we're down to Dallas Keuchel, Charlie Morton. Did they overpay? Maybe they overpaid, but, you know, in the terms of some teams, the Red Sox have all kinds of money. He's 28 years old. He wanted to be there. He was a World Series hero. I know the Astros wanted him. I don't know if would they have gone the 4 years and 68, 67, whatever it was. You know, I don't know about that, but it just seems like a right fit. I mean, I'm telling you, the way they reacted to how he pitched in that long game in the World Series, he was a guy after game four, they won game four. You could see, I mean, there were players that, like David Price, had tears in his eyes talking about the guy. So, bottom line, he won a championship in Boston, and they did what they had to do to keep him. And the money they pay him is not going to keep them from doing anything else in the future. But they appear to be done now for the offseason, for the most part.
Now, you mentioned, the Astros were interested in Eovaldi.
Yep.
Where do you think the Astros go here? What would be the, I guess, next order of business on their list?
I think right now, I think they're sorting through the pitching options, but if they had to go into the season with Verlander, Cole, McHugh, Josh James, Peacock, whoever, I think they would do that. They definitely are going to get one more arm. I think Jeff Luno feels the big need right now would be a designated hitter. The interesting part to me would be, are you comfortable with what you have in terms of the outfield? I know they say they want another outfielder. You know, you have two spots. You have Reddick, you have Springer. Reddick's more a platoon player. It's going to come down to you have to churn your roster. And there is a point coming where Kyle Tucker has to play. Now, it comes down to this. Do you give him the position or do you make him take it? You know, it would be ridiculous to send him back to AAA. He has done everything they've asked him to do. There was a number last year. He hit the ball 100 plus miles an hour 11 times and got nothing out of it, or two singles out of it or something. But there was a hole in his swing in the low and in. He seems to have taken care of that. That's a long-winded answer by saying at some point, Forrest Whitley and Kyle Tucker, your two top guys, they're why you don't have JT Realmuto. They're why you don't have a couple other guys. You got to put him out there and let him play.
Now, with Realmuto, is that a guy that, you know, the Astros have their sights on? They signed Robinson Chirinos. I'm surprised that Chirinos got almost $6 million. I kind of expected he would be the backup quarterback, the backup catcher, but they're paying him pretty well. He's got power. Do you expect he's going to be the starter, or is he going to be the backup?
Would they still like to upgrade? Yeah, but I don't think they're comfortable with the price on Grandal. And they've just have told, I mean, they've reached a point with the Marlins where they're at a stalemate. And I think you've seen the Nationals move on. I think you've seen other teams just say, I mean, I don't think the Braves think they're going to get him. So which would tell me that the message to the Marlins is you may be asking more for this guy than you're going to get. He is arguably the best catcher in baseball. But the Astros are not going to trade Kyle Tucker or Forrest Whitley to get JT Realmuto. And you can say, well, I question Jeff Luno on that. But the way Jeff Luno looks at it is that we've seen some teams win championships, for instance, the 2016 Cubs, and be left with no farm system, and he's just not going to do it. And that's that he believes, like, we built this thing to sustain it. We hope to sustain it for the long haul. And if we start trading guys like Tucker and Realmuto, you know, it was different. I mean, it was different last year when you saw the Brewers give up a boatload of prospects for Christian Yelich. That was a young guy, arguably one of the four or five best outfielders in the game, and a guy that was getting still on an upward arc that had a team-friendly contract for 4 years. I think you would do it for that. Should you do it for Realmuto? Well, Jeff has decided not to do it.
You know, and we're talking about Richard Justice, MLB.com, on the BetDSI.com inside line. There's a difference between saying the guy's the best catcher in the league and saying the guy's the best catcher in the league, but he's Mike Piazza.
No, I think the guy's pretty good. He's a pretty good player. I think what the Astros value, and I see this with the Rays, the Cubs, the Dodgers, what they value is the defensive work behind the plate. In other words, you know, teams have this big debate. I know the Cubs had an internal debate. Do we want our catchers to be pitch blockers or pitch framers? And the thinking is you can't be both. You can't be good at both. And the Cubs feel like if you're a pitch blocker, you're going to save, what, 5 a game, 8 a game? Now, it's more with the Astros because you have those guys that throw the hard slider and the hard breaking ball. But they want a pitch framer because that guy might be able to steal 50 pitches a game, might be able to steal 4 or 5 outs for you a game. And I think the Astros have that philosophy. That's what they want. Now, you do have to look at the hole. They have a hole at DH. It's a big hole at DH. That hole has to be filled. And they have to figure out what they're going to do about left field. You know, otherwise, they're a pretty set team.
Richard, Paul Goldschmidt finds his way out of the desert and into St. Louis. St. Louis get a steal here? Because looking at the guys they gave up, I don't feel like any of those guys is a future star.
Yeah, I never know about the prospects. It takes years to evaluate that. What I know is the Cardinals got a guy that, speaking for me, he's my favorite player in baseball. To me, he's the prototype of what you want a professional athlete to be. Conscientious in the clubhouse, productive on the field, and a contributor in the community. I know this is hard for Paul. Now, you know, he's from the Woodlands, but he's made his home in Scottsdale. He married an Arizona girl. They had their kids there. He was embedded in the community as much as you can be. Now, he's going culturally to a completely different situation where every seat is sold. Where the bar is, you win the World Series. If you don't win the World Series, you didn't have a good year. Every game matters in St. Louis every day of the year. Every day of the year is baseball season. I think, you know, the Cardinals are sort of like, can we sign the guy after this year? It's a one-year rental, all of that stuff. And where does he put us? They are still the third-place team in the NL Central, but they certainly have closed the gap on the Brewers and Cubs. I think the guy's going to look up in the middle of the season and think, this is the way it always wanted to be. Now, the Astros had some interest in him, and I think, you know, you've read the stories that he was sitting in the upper deck the night Pujols hit the home run in, was that 05? And, he's a lifelong Astros fan, but he is going to a place that's baseball heaven.
Richard Justice, MLB.com, with us on the BetDSI.com inside line. Richard does report that the Twins are working on a one-year deal with Jonathan Scope, who's had some terrific power numbers in Baltimore, but when he got traded to Milwaukee, really kind of fell off a cliff. How do you see this signing? Is this a signing that's going to help push the Twins forward, or is this a guy who was just really comfortable in Baltimore and needs to find a way to get comfortable somewhere else?
Yeah, I think he needs the reset button. You know, Brewers GM David Stearns just said, you know what, it wasn't a good acquisition, and that's on me. He wasn't the same player, so he needs to get a reset. It's not I think the reason you're seeing him sign so early, the Twins made an offer, and it's a crowded market. Look at all the, who are the second basemen? Daniel Murphy, DJ LeMahieu, Neil Walker. I mean, there's a lot of second basemen out there. And I know teams that are looking for second base help, and they're just saying, hey, we're going to sort through the options here. No need to get in a hurry. I don't know if you've ever seen him. He's a big guy physically. He's an impressive guy. And for me, the guys that were part of that club when they turned it around, Adam Jones and Wieters and Markakis, I mean, I love Baltimore, and they were part of the renaissance of the sport there. And so I hope he gets it going.
Richard, A.J. Pollock's got some suitors, one being the Mets, one being the Reds. Probably a few others who are, you know, lingering around under there. Reportedly, he's looking for Lorenzo Cain money. Is Pollock worth that money, player wise and health wise?
Yeah, that's the key. Player wise, he's definitely worth the money. I mean, he's a big time player, and I think the Giants might have some interest there too. But you know, he's played 113, 112, and 12 games the last 3 years. He's a guy that, you know, he's had an 800 OPS last year and 21 homers in 113 games. He can play. Can he stay on the field? That's what's going to be the tricky part about the negotiation with him. So I know he's a good player. I know he fits. And he was part of what they had when they made the playoffs last year in Arizona. How you balance the health thing, though, you know, I don't know.
Are the Mets going to be paying somebody $20 million to take Robinson Cano in 2 years? I mean,
well, here's my answer for that. Yeah, here's my answer for that. I was coughing. I pushed my cough button. logically, it's a bad trade. Okay? You don't trade youth for age. You don't trade money for no money. On the other hand, it's New York City. I don't think New York teams should rebuild. I don't think the Mets should be run like a small market team. So my question would be, what happens to the Mets in 2019? Does Diaz get them there? Does Cano get them back in the conversation? That's all I care about. And if they do that, now, look, they just made a trade with Seattle. Seattle was an all-in team, too. And then they looked up one day, and they had an aging roster, a negative run differential, older players that weren't producing, and they just said, we got to pivot. And they took one of the most massive pivots in the history of the game that I've ever seen. I don't think the Mets should have to do that. Now, if you're in, you have to be in. So they have to go get a catcher. They have to go get another reliever. They probably have to go get an outfielder or somebody to play second base or whatever. If you're in, you got to keep going. You can't half-ass it. And so I assume they're going to be in. When Citi Field, I don't know if you've been there, Patrick, but it's as good a ballpark as there is in baseball. And when it's full, I've always thought Mets fans sound different. They have their ovations, their cheers are more like thunderclaps. And I think the whole sport's better if the Mets are relevant. Does this get it gets them closer? And I only care about 2019. I know, and everybody I've talked to in baseball said, you're crazy. They sacrificed their future, all that. I'm from the Earl Weaver School. Win today and worry about tomorrow.
Well, as a lifelong Mets fan and
season
ticket holder, I'm quite vested in what the Mets do.
Yeah. Well, they got to keep going. They got, you know, what are you going to do about the catching? What are you going to do about second base? Do they need another arm for the bullpen? They do. Are you okay with the outfield guys? You think Dom Smith's going to be good? You can't do everything. And that's the problem from going down this road. On the other hand, you shouldn't be back on the hockey page. You know what I mean? In the tabloids. You're the New York bleeping Mets, and you should be relevant. And it's good for the sport, and it's good for the city of New York because it's a baseball town, and I want Mets fans and Yankee fans barking at each other with something on the line.
They're fun games when they're both good.
Right.
Except in 2000, that was not a fun series.
It was good leading up to it.
It was good leading up to Game 4 when Derek Jeter hit the first pitch from Bobby Jones about 150 feet to my left over the wall in left field.
Remind me, that was Shea Stadium, right?
That was Shea Stadium.
Yeah, I love that. I love that place. I know it was, in a lot of ways, awful, but God. And I don't know, you've been to Citi Field, right?
Yes.
I mean, to me, in terms of food and drink and capturing the city, the eateries, the local eateries that are represented there, Shake Shack being first among them, and that pizza place, whatever it's called, I love the place. I love Citi Field.
It's a great park. The only downside to Citi Field from Shea Stadium is that along the back of the stadium where the bar is.
Yeah.
All right, that's where all the chop shops are. And, like, there's less of them now, which means there's less free places to park. There's McFadden's. There's less free places to park around the stadium without having to walk, like, 3 miles.
Yeah.
That's the only downside.
I've always taken the subway there and then, you know, Uber or whatever after the game, but if it was too late. But I have taken the subway there at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know. But I love it, and I hope they're good. And I'm a big fan of Brody Van Wagenen, and you probably know he's A.J. Hinch's agent and one of his closest friends. I think he's a really good guy. And I like Mickey Callaway a lot. I want them to succeed. And let me say this about Robinson Cano. People haven't been around him. He is I've been around him a lot, and I could tell in the Mariners clubhouse there was a leadership aspect. Now, you lose that when you get suspended for PEDs. But there was a leadership aspect to him that was off the charts, and I think the Mariners would tell you that. I saw him do acts of kindness for young players to help them along and mentor them that were off the charts. So he's a guy I root for, but it's an onerous contract for sure.
He's Richard Justice, MLB.com, with us on the BetDSI.com inside line. Follow him on Twitter at Richard Justice. Always a pleasure, my friend. I hope we catch up soon.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right, Richard Justice, MLB.com, on the BetDSI.com inside line. Our guest lines are brought to you by BetDSI.com. Use promo code WIN125. Get a 125% bonus on your initial deposit when you sign up with BetDSI.com.